everyone. This is Terry Latham calling to you from Austin, Texas. My wife and I are Triple Diamonds with this company. And we're kicking off our first call for the new year with a special, special guest. He's a great mentor to myself. And when I first met him, he really kind of set me back. But also it's how he has been able to train the field in the proper way when it comes to how network marketing should be positioned. To just say Tyler Norton's a founder of ASEA is just as profound for anybody to understand that if you're sitting back and if you're part of the company especially. But we're dealing with a gentleman who has an extensive background and a resume. But one of the things I think is pretty awesome for people to understand, he was the younger senior vice president of distribution for one of the largest insurance institutions in the world. And did that at an early age. And he did this by being very strategic in how he plans things. He always has been in front of things by writing out a plan, executing a plan. And as we were speaking earlier today, I asked him if he could come onto the call. Of course, share some great info, but also get into us, how we kick off our new year, how we should really be ready to make sure we capitalize on 2016. And I believe, Tyler, Tyler, are you with us?
I'm here, Terry. Can you hear me okay?
We got you. And I believe you also even have a special guest.
I have a special guest who's everything you said about me times 10, and that's my dad. He's sitting right here with me.
Awesome, awesome.
Hey, Terry, how are you?
Oh, fantastic, Bert. It's glad to have you be a part of our call tonight.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to be part of it.
We have several hundred people listening in. We'll catch tonight's live, and then also throughout the recording for the next week. Well, I mean, Bert, glad that this is an awesome surprise. But what would you like to share?
He went to a family dinner tonight, and Tyler said, "I've got to step out and make a call." I said, "Well, who are you going to make a call to?" He said, "Terry Latham and his group." And I said, "Well, I'm coming. You can't keep me away from this." So I walked out with Tyler, and I'm sitting in his car. I left my wife over in my car that's running. So I think I'm still going to be married tonight.
don't get me in trouble. Just tell them that this was David Silverman or something.
Good idea. Hey, listen, I'm thrilled about what's happening in the company. I heard your opening comments. I agree with you 100%. This company is poised for something really big. And I couldn't feel better about what we've put together for this next year. I think it's going to be an exciting year for ASEA.
Awesome.
Terry, I invited Dad just to step out of his vehicle and come say hello, so I'm going to excuse him, but he's excited to be here and want to thank you for letting him take a minute in front of the call.
Oh, thank you for taking the time, Virtus. Look forward to seeing you in the future.
I'm delighted to be with you, even for a short period of time like this. I want to wish all of you the very best. Make it a good year for all of us.
Excellent. Thanks. Now, Tyler, as we were discussing earlier today, and really, there's so many – I was talking to Karen Riley earlier, and I said, man, there's so many things that he could pull out of his hat. And there's things that, when we're kicking off our year, and as networkers, a lot of times everybody sets these big, audacious goals, and it's almost like a lottery ticket that people scratch off and they get upset and it doesn't hit when they hit. And we hear a lot in our industry that, I've tried one of those things. And yet what I have found is most people don't work off a plan. And you're just the way you kind of share things and how you work on strategy. But you also get into it helping people set their goals. And really, as we're kicking off the 2016 for our first team call, I'd love for you to start, kind of get into some good ideas for us to how we can best kick off this year and make it the best year yet.
Well, I'm delighted to join you, Terry, and happy to share a few ideas with you this evening with you and your team. Happy New Year to everybody. Terry, let me just ask, can you hear me okay?
We got you perfect.
Okay, great. So I've got a handful of principles I'd like to share with you guys tonight, things that might be helpful that have helped me personally and professionally as I start New Year's. I love the end of every calendar year and the beginning of new calendar years. I'm a big believer in new beginnings and rebooting and starting over. I don't consider myself to be the most perfect, consistent person, but I am consistent in one thing, and that's getting up and starting over again. And there's something special about a new year when you can take some time and say, I'm going for this again. I've got several principles. Some of them are high level and some of them are a little more practical. I'm going to run through these and share them with you. And then maybe we can visit at the end, Terry, if you've got any questions or want to have folks open the lines up for comments. First thing I want to promote and suggest you take some time and do, and you may have already done this. If you have, I applaud you. If you haven't, I highly recommend you do, and that is I want you to take some time first and reflect on the good things that happened in 2015. By good things, I mean successes, but also lessons learned, maybe from challenges that you've had. I took about an hour and a half early one morning between Christmas and New Year's, and I just pulled out a computer, pulled up a bullet point, and I started typing as quickly as I could the various things that had happened in 2015 that I thought were noteworthy. And I was surprised by the end of that exercise, which spanned, gosh, almost 2.5 pages of bullet points, of the wonderful things that had happened in 2015, not only with ASEA and business, but with my family, with my wife, with my children, and in general. And I always believe that reflecting back is an important precursor to looking forward. And so the first thing I would tell you is to take some time to reflect on last year and chronicle the wins that you've had and the good things that have occurred. The feelings that come are feelings of humility and gratitude, and also a desire to make 2016 an even better year. So first principle I want to share with you is to take some time to reflect on last year and capture that. The second thing I want to tell you to do might feel a little weird on a business call, but I'm unapologetic about it. I want you to get out a piece of paper, and I want you to write the following words. I feel most loved by, and then put your name in there, and then after your name, put when, and dot, 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 or an ellipsis, and then put 1, 2, and 3 underneath that. And what I want you to do is I want you to take that piece of paper, and I want you to give it to 5 or 6 people that are most important to you personally and a handful of people most important to you professionally. Now, I did this last night with my kids, and I've done this several times over the years with my family. I hand out a piece of paper to all of my children. Many of you know I've got a big family, 5 boys and 1 little girl. And every year I try to hand out a piece of paper to them that says, I feel most loved by my dad when, and then I put numbers 1, 2, and 3 there. And I think you'd be surprised at what the people that are closest to you in your life are going to say. I'll bet that if you listed out the things that you believe signal the highest measure of your love for others will be actually different than the way they receive your love. And this is an important concept because I think we write goals for business and we spend a lot of time talking about money and growing our organizations, but I don't think we write enough goals about relationships and particularly the relationships that matter the most. Let me give you an example. When I did this last night with my little girl, she wrote back to me, I feel most loved by my dad, that would be me, when he laughs with me. And she went to bed last night, and I sat and thought about the handful of times that I'd really laughed, like really belly laughed with my daughter in the last year. And it's just flat out not enough. I'm so serious about business and so serious about all the things I got going and the stresses of life and the stresses of being a dad. And here's my daughter. She's not saying I feel most loved by my dad when he buys me a big gift or he buys me something or anything else. She's simply saying, I love it when my dad laughs with me and I feel like he loves me. She said, my other son said, I feel most loved by my dad when he plays with me. This is my 10-year-old. And I stopped to think about that. Going in the backyard in the snow and pulling a sled with them and riding down a small little hill. Or spending some time with them playing a game of war on the cards or something like that. And you know, I'm sorry to say this to you guys, but I think in 30 years, whatever I might say about setting goals in business, I think you're going to forget, and I don't think it's going to matter. But in 20 or 30 years, if you set a goal right now, tonight, to find out what the people, who the people are that you love the most and when they feel your love the most, and then set goals to do more of those things, I think you will have a very enriching and very successful 2016. So my second principle after taking time to reflect on last year's wins is I want you to understand when the people around you feel the highest measure of your love towards them by asking them to fill that little piece of paper out. And then I want you to ponder that. And I can assure you, I aim to spend some time laughing with my daughter this year, and I've written it out as a goal, and I aim to spend a little more time playing with my son, who indicated that as well. One last thing I should tell you, my teenage son said, I feel most loved by my dad when he takes a genuine interest in the things that I'm interested in. And when he was younger, I used to go with him to a skate park. He liked skateboarding. And I would take hours and take pictures of him while he was skateboarding. And I haven't done that for a long time, and he's continued to enjoy skateboarding, but he goes with his buddies and his friends. And one summer, I'm not very good with power tools, Terry, but one summer I bought a kit on how to build a half pipe for a skateboarder. And I went and bought all the lumber, and I brought it to the house, and I'll be darned if we didn't build a pretty darn good half pipe in the backyard. And it occurred to me as I sat and pondered his response that I haven't done as much to show interest in what matters to him. And again, I plan to set goals to that. So that's my second key thing. And again, I don't really feel a need to apologize for bringing that up in a business setting, but you need to make sure you're writing goals about that will enrich the lives of the people you love, and you need to make sure that you're writing goals that are meaningful to them, not to you. If I thought that my son felt most loved when I bought him a nice Christmas gift or a birthday gift, then I'm missing the point. He's not looking for that. He's looking for time. He's looking for my attention and interest. And my daughter's looking for me to laugh. I think those are all things I can do. The third thing I wanted to talk about tonight had to do with, I gave a training, and I've actually given it several times, but it's called the 6 D's equivalent to success. Some of you may not remember that. The first D of all those 6 D's is the D of desire. And I'm convinced that people don't spend enough time articulating their desires. In that training, I suggested that the word desire was a compound word with a prefix and a suffix. The prefix was the letters D and E, which taken together signal the equivalent of or equal to. And the second half of that, the suffix in that word, is sire. And if you stop and think about that, desire is equal to sire. And sire, if you know anything about that word, means to create, to be the lord of, or to be the father of something. If you're a sire horse, you're tend to be a father. If you say in Old English, the sire was your lord. So what do you want to create? What do you want to be the lord of? And again, I'm not talking about I want the lottery, I want to win the lottery, or I want to be a triple diamond and I'm a director 700 right now and I don't have any idea how to get there. I don't necessarily mean that. I don't have a problem with people who say I desire to be a triple diamond. I think that's healthy. But I think people spend way too much time thinking about what they want, but not actually articulating it. So I want to challenge you as you start 2016, hang up the phone tonight. Do not turn on your TV. Do not jump back on your phones and start texting people or reading the news or playing a game or doing any number of other trivial things. I want you to pull out a good old-fashioned piece of paper and a pencil. And I want you to just basically say, I want, and put an ellipsis after that, and start listing out the things that you want. And if they seem like they're way far and out of reach for you, I don't care. I want you to write them down. The one thing I would ask you to do is to not perjure yourself. Don't say things that you want that you really don't want. I simply want you to write the things down that you truly and genuinely want in your heart. And I want you to use that as a framework for when you start writing specific goals. Now, you might say, well, those are the goals. No, desires and goals are very different from each other. In fact, desires are known as something that tends to be not entirely in your control, whereas goals, if they're well written, are something that you could argue is that which you alone can accomplish, and it's completely within your control. So setting a goal to be triple diamond, and a lot of industrial psychologists will tell you, is actually counterproductive. Having a desire to be triple diamond and setting a goal to speak with 5 people every day about ASEA and invite them either to a meeting or to interface with a tool, and then setting a goal to make 10 follow-up phone calls every day is in fact more aligned with much of the modern industrial psychology about goal setting today. Because what you'll learn if you do some research on goals versus desires is that desires, while very important, are not entirely in your control. But really well-written goals, very well-written goals, are 100% teetotally in your control. And if you stop and think about that, the execution of them, the actual accomplishment of those goals, simply becomes a matter of your degree of discipline and true commitment. And for me, commitment has always been defined as predictable, reliable, and dedicated behaviors that separate failure from success. That's what that kind of commitment is to a goal. So when you write your goals, make sure they're completely in your control. You can't control, for example, how many people are going to become Director X or beyond in your organization. You can have a desire to do that, but you can have a goal for how many calls you're going to make. You can have a goal for things that you can control. Now, when I was a young man, my dad would teach me that writing goals, they had to be smart. And by that, I mean not necessarily just the word smart as in intelligent. I actually mean they had to meet the standard of an acronym called SMART. S stood for specific. M stood for measurable. A stood for attainable. R, relevant. And T was time-bound. So if I ever wrote a goal and took it to my dad early on in my career when I'd ask for his insights, his first thing he would do on a piece of paper is he would write SMART, going from the top to the bottom. And then he would actually put a check mark next to the letter. If the goal that I had written was in fact specific, then he would put a check mark next to the S. And if he could measure whether I had done the goal, then he would put a check mark next to the M. If he and I discussed it and he said that's an attainable goal, then he would check the A. If it was relevant to my life and my strategy and what I was trying to do, he would check that box. And then if it could be measured by time, he would handle that and check it off as well. And what I learned is the more SMART, that is specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound, the more SMART that my goals became, the actual increase and more probable it became that I was going to reach them. And I can look back year after year at various goals, some of them fairly significant. Terry mentioned I was a very young senior vice president of a good-sized company. I reached that by using these simple little models of setting SMART goals and then attacking those on a very short-term, tight basis. So be careful when you write out your goals that you're not writing broad, general statements like be nice or have a good summer. Those are way too general. And certainly I don't think it's wrong to have a desire to be triple diamond or even a desire to make a certain income. But you should definitely be turning around and saying, now what's in my control on a daily basis that I can write down in a SMART fashion that then I can track and report to the people that are helping me to reach my objectives and goals and desires. So those are some thoughts there. Let me pivot to a couple other concepts. My dad and I, long before we started ASEA, did consulting and advisory work for several different people. About 16 years ago, I advised a young man who I met in a nonprofit environment who is now the CEO of a company that's approaching $1 billion in value and really close to an IPO. And when I met him, he had two employees and himself. They now have over 700 employees and, as I mentioned, are approaching an IPO. And I'm one of three personal advisors to him as a CEO. And he and I were together just before the holidays at a fireside chat in a hotel lobby visiting about some things. And we were talking about a lot of the same things you and I and all of us are talking about this evening. And I asked him to share some insights about how he manages and drives towards what he's trying to accomplish. And he asked me, he said, well, do you have I am statements clearly drafted? And I said, well, I have values clarified, and I understand the notion of values. What do you mean by I am statements? And he said, Tyler, I think you would do well to write 12 to 15 statements down that start with the words I am. And write them down if they're a fact, and also write them down if they're something you aspire to. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So he said, would you like to hear mine? And I said, I would. And he began to recite from memory about 16 statements that were I am statements about who he was and what he was trying to do. And I was absolutely amazed. He went on to tell me that every morning after he drops his daughters at school and has about a 12-minute commute from their school, maybe a little more, to his office, He actually connects his phone to the speakers in his car and plays his own voice stating these I am statements to himself. And as they're being heard, he says it's very important that it's your actual voice that you're listening to. He goes, I say them out loud and I say them from memory as I'm driving down the road. Now, in his case, it's I'm a father, I'm a Christian, I'm a billion-dollar company CEO. And then he goes on to list several other things, including I'm my wife's hero, and it goes on from there. And a couple mornings ago, I sat down and started to write my I am statements, and I thought, this is an incredible exercise. And this is where I would suggest that you can write, I am a triple diamond at a CF. And I am a recognized member of this advisory council, if you want to be part of the advisory council of this company. There's so many different things that you could write. And I found myself writing things about my faith, about my relationship to my nuclear family, my wife, my children. I even wrote things that I aspire to in terms of my character and how I might be able to influence other people. And I want to challenge you to take a few minutes and write your I am statements. I think you'll be surprised at how powerful an exercise that can be. Okay, last thing I wanted to talk about, and that is the notion of keeping the score. And some of you have heard me tell the story of coaching baseball one year when I had a really good team. Young boys, probably 9 or 10 years old. Two of my sons were on that team. And I thought for sure we had a team that was just going to do really, really well, and we lost our first two games. And I remember feeling like I was the problem. Parents were looking at me funny as we packed our chairs up in our cars, and I told Allison, my wife, I thought, man, how in the world am I losing these games? We're a much better team. And the next game, we went down a few runs just into the second inning, and I got nervous. And I huddled all the boys up, and I took a knee, and I was kneeling down kind of underneath their gaze. So you can imagine the faces of a bunch of 9- and 10-year-old boys looking down on me as their coach. And I took my hat off, and I asked one question to the boys. I said, what's the score of the game? And not one of the boys after two innings could tell me the correct score. There was two that were close. There were several that didn't even have any clue what the score was. But these were 10-year-old boys that were just happy to be out on a baseball field, happy to be outside, throwing a ball back and forth, but they weren't really keeping the score. So I decided from that moment forward that as the side retired, so whether we were taking the field or coming in to go up to bat, that I was going to huddle the boys together, I was going to take a knee, and I was going to look up into their eyes, and I was just simply going to ask, what's the score of the game? And it took about two more innings before every boy in unison, in fact, could tell me the exact score of the game. And once they learned that I was going to do that, at every time we took the field and every time we came off the field, I was going to ask that question, they started to actually pay more attention to the score. And I added one simple question at the end of that, which was, and what does that mean? The first time it drew a couple stares, but by about the second or third time I asked the question, some boy, one or the other, would say, it means we're down two runs. If the score is 3-1, they would say, I'd say, what does it mean? And one boy would say, we're down two. And somebody else would say, we need three runs to go ahead. And I would say, and what does that mean? And they would say, it means we need hits. And I would say, how many hits? And we would talk through it just for a few minutes in between. And the boys would get reoriented on what needed to happen right in front of them now in order for us to contribute to a win. We went on to win every game the rest of that season, and we played in the championship of that little league and lost the championship by only one run to a good friend and coach who was a neighbor of mine. But I went away having learned a valuable lesson about the simple essence of keeping the score. So here's the deal. Do not write a set of goals that are not specific and measurable. And if you do write them specific and measurable, then make sure you have regular intervals where you check the score against what you're trying to accomplish. Far too often we throw a goal out there and we don't actually track and keep score. And I've learned by just keeping the score, if you have Terry or someone in your upline or someone that you can reach out to and say, hey, man, I want to just tell you the score of the game, and you can share exactly where you stand against where you need to be, and you'll be surprised at how quickly that'll start to affect your approach to your day-to-day goals and activities that you're tracking and measuring. I spend a lot of time still actually helping businesses to write business plans, the same process that my dad and I took the company through prior to ASEA that owned the technology. we were asked to go in and basically help them to write a business plan and to articulate annual and quarterly goals. And that same process that my dad used for many, many years, we call it Strategic Link, is nothing more than aligning a series of strategies with a series of daily tactical things that you're going to do every day and then tracking those things religiously on a weekly basis. So I would just challenge you to take some time to reflect on last year. Ask the people that you love the most, when and how do they feel most loved by you, and have them write it down so you can actually start really clearly setting goals around ways to signal your love to the people you care about. Make sure you articulate your desires well. Get a journal. Go buy a $5 or $6 journal. It's hardbound. You'll never throw it away. And simply start at the top by saying, I want, and then start listing the things that you want to do, accomplish, or have in your life that you either don't have now or want to get to. Make sure that you write goals that you control, things that you can actually control all the way, where accomplishing that is completely within your control and influence, not just broad desires. So marry those desires with specific controllable goals. Make sure those goals are smart, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. And then make sure as you go to go do it that you're keeping the score. Remember my story of the baseball team. Take it of each day and ask yourself, where are you today versus where you need to be, and ask yourself, what does it mean? And I think you'll start actually seeing some lift in what you're trying to accomplish. Terry, I'm delighted to have been with you tonight. I hope some of these thoughts or ideas, general as they may be, I hope they enrich your lives a little bit and help you to have a very successful 2016. I'm going to turn it back to you.
Tyler, thank you so much for taking time from your family and stepping out. I know you're in the car. I really do appreciate you doing that. And thanks for being the person you are and really taking our company and giving network marketing the direction it needs to go in. So I just want to say thanks.
Thank you, Terry. Sure proud of you.
You bet. Guys, I'm going to shut off the recording real quick. Everybody, y'all can get the recording out. It'll be up for 7 days. I'm going to shut it off and say a couple more comments towards the back end. Hold on one second.